Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
And we welcome you back, everybody, to another episode of the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, WaitingForNextYear.com and the Evergreen Podcast Network on a Monday morning, July 31st. Yes, your Cleveland Guardians, despite the at times ugly weekend in Chicago against the tanking White Sox, actually gained ground in the AL Central this weekend thanks to the Royals sweeping the Twins. The Guards split with the Sox, and now we're just a half game back as they head to Houston. Oh, it doesn't get any bigger than Noah Syndergaard on a Monday night in Houston, Todd, against the Astros. Matt and Todd with you, brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry. I almost said the G word.
Don't say it.
Rise and Grind Fitness, and also Breaking Tea t-shirts, breakingtea.com/dairy. How, Todd, is this team half game out of first place?
The first topic I put on that list was they're a half game out of first. How? It is unbelievable because this weekend you're like, okay, we got four against the White Sox who stink.
Oh.
They get to Dylan Cease pretty well.
Yeah.
Who's their ace, and they win that game. You're like, all right, this is great. And then they go out Friday and Saturday and score two total runs against Tuki Toussaint and Mike Clevenger. So lose both games. And then yesterday, obviously, they won. But this is just this four-game set was a microcosm of the season. They're an average, at best, baseball team. And, you know, you every day it's, okay, we feel like we're turning it around. Four-game winning streak, three-game winning streak. And then they go out and they lose two to this crappy team. So, but the good news is,
Joe Clark and Allen, the good news.
The Twins were terrible in Kansas City this weekend.
What was that? I mean, if you're in Minnesota right now, you're like, if you're a Twins fan, you're saying, do we want to win this division? What are we doing? I mean, they are clearly better than we are. They are. At least on paper, you look up and you go, man, that lineup's good. This Julianne guy's hitting. Like, you know, their catcher's hit. Their pitching this week was not good. But, like.
But they got quality guys in the rotation. They got Sonny Gray. I mean, they got a couple of – Sonny Gray and Joe Ryan are excellent. And so's Pablo Lopez. All three of those guys would be our number one starter.
Ober's ERA is good.
Ken Ober. Yeah.
What about Kari Wurd?
I should probably cut back on my 80s references because, like, all I do is tool on Underwood for his, you know, outdated references, too. So,
oh my God. What about their discussion yesterday about
I can't.
Bowling show or something?
I can't. They looked at it. That was. All right,
let's
steer back on topic here. But yes, to your point, the Twins are more talented, and again, shame on them for not running away from us. It's wild to me. You look up, here we are. We're a half game out of first on July 31st. Shout out, happy birthday to the great Ryan Sturch, by the way.
Roots?
Yes. And the rotation is Noah Syndergaard, who has a 7 ERA and we haven't seen pitch yet. Three rookies and Aaron Civale, who all of a sudden has emerged as I'm not going to say an ace, but the way he's pitched lately, he's pitched like an ace. And now, yesterday, our good friend of the program, the pride of Solon, Ohio, Zach Meisel,
he
wrote an article
listener
about the conundrum that the Guardians find themselves in because the Twins haven't run away with this division. Of whether or not they should hang on to Aaron Civale, because, you know, I wanted to get into this conversation. There are two schools of thought on this. School of thought number one is what we've been saying. This team stinks. Let's be honest. We win the division. We get to October. We're not winning a playoff series, especially not a three-game series on the road where you have no home games. I don't see that happening. But if you do, it's all you do is, you know, you got to get into the tournament. And anything could happen, right? Are you going to go into October and somehow without Aaron Civale and have the three rookies and Syndergaard and God knows who in the five hole, you know, potentially to get you to October?
you'd be relying on the return of Cal Quantrill somehow, Tristan McKenzie somehow. I don't think.
I just don't see that possible, though.
Right. That's a lot. You're asking a lot. Like, you're right. If let's say they traded Savali, which I don't think they're going to do, but let's say they do it, and Syndergaard just blows up and walks off the mound tonight with another injury or something, then there's nothing left. I mean, what are you bringing Hunter Gaddis up and his, you know, putting Zach Plesac back on the 40 man? Are you really going to go to Cantillo now? I mean, like, for the sanity of the fan base and being competitive, you owe it to hold on to Savali. Now, if this was the last year of his deal or next year was, I could understand it, but he's under team control for what, this year and
two and a half more seasons.
So I just don't see it. And you know, Tito loves him, but again, yesterday he was only like 70 pitches in and they took him out. So it was like, what was that?
I don't see it either. But as we discussed over text last night, his trade value right now, it's never going to be higher than it is. So that's something to think about. The other thing to think about is, let me read you the ERAs of the options to bring up. You know, we've been talking about, they should go to Cantillo. He's 5.40 ERA in AAA. Hunter Gaddis, 1-7. 6.35 ERA with a in AAA. Not exactly great. Not that they're going back to Zach Plesac, but he's still there. 2-4 with a 6.18 ERA in AAA. And then, you know, at that point, then you, who else am I forgetting? There's one other person. There's a fourth guy. You're not putting
Jared Eichhoff. They're not bringing guys up.
Who's the left-hander, the scrub lefty that is up? Daniel Norris. They're not putting Daniel Norris in the rotation. If they do, that's the ultimate waving of the white flag.
Correct.
That's just not going to happen. So
he may be DFA'd today.
He probably will be DFA'd today because they have to make room for Syndergaard. So
I DFA Cam Gallagher, but he is Aaron Civale's personal catcher.
Now he's Savali's personal catcher.
Well, he caught him yesterday. And the guy threw a shutout. You know, he's going to be behind the plate next week when Savali pitches again.
It's like, it's enough with let's keep going with the starting rotation and the Savali stuff.
I'm not trading him. I understand. Look, a year ago, that wasn't a year ago, but almost a year ago, the dude started the last game of the playoffs against the Yankees and he couldn't even get out of the first inning. And we're like, this guy blows. He can't even throw hard. He's always hurt. And now you're right. Magically, his ERA is under 3 and he's been dominant.
And you tell me if his value is never going to be higher than it is right now. This team's not winning the World Series.
There's a ton of pitchers out there, though. There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of options for teams. That's the problem. If there was only like two more options left, there's so many teams selling pitchers. I mean, look where I live. I mean, they got two guys that are selling eventually in Lorenzen and Eduardo. So like,
Lorenzen's not fetching you shit. And Eduardo might, but he's got a big contract. You got to also look at the contract. Savali's value, because his contract is so low, he has 2.5 years of team control. Find me a starter on the market that you're going to get more for.
Well, but the problem Keller will be sold.
No, he's not. No way they're selling Mitch Keller. He's their number one pick.
Or who are we talking about? The Pirates here. They sell everybody.
Not trading Mitch Keller. No.
Okay. I think they'll get a haul for him. They're an embarrassment.
I agree with you, but I don't think that they're doing that. I just look up and I know that all of these contending teams need pitching badly. Look at Baltimore. Gosh, look at Cleveland. Look at Baltimore. They need a frontline starter so bad. You give them another really, really solid starter, that team could go to the World Series. Why not? And strike while the iron's hot. They're loaded with young talent.
Do the Orioles view Aaron Civale as a quote unquote frontline starter?
Well, we don't know that, but if you look, I'm going to go into the Baltimore depth chart here and see,
Well, I know let's look at Cosmo Kramer pitched last night.
Danny Kramer pitch last night? What's his name? Dean. Oh, Dean Kramer.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry. All right. Here's what we're looking at the rotation for Baltimore right now. Kyle Bradish, Dean Kramer, Kyle Gibson, Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, is that those are their top four right now? Is yeah,
they'll
that
go, they'll go get somebody?
They should. They absolutely should. But I'm saying that team is, and Cole Irvin, by the way, I forgot about him. That team is absolutely loaded with young, controllable bats. I mean, wouldn't you love? I mean, not that they're trading one of their real key guys, but wouldn't you love it if we could get one of their, you know, one of their studs? I mean, they're, you know, we're not getting Gunnar Henderson. We're not getting.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, let's just do Gunnar Henderson for Aaron Civale straight up. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'd sign up for that in 2 seconds, but they're not doing that. Maybe they'll give us Gunnar the trainer, but not Gunnar Henderson.
It's a great call.
Yeah. So
three week hiatus.
A team like that where they have like kind of a 2022 Guardians feel where they, I'm not saying they came out of nowhere because they played well last year, but now they got to strike while the iron is hot. They can go to the series and they're not winning anything in October with that rotation. They got to grab someone else.
Baltimore will trade for Mike Clevinger. You heard it here first.
Oh, he's garbage, except for when he faces us.
Yes, he looked pretty good mowing us down the other night.
Couldn't handle that changeup all weekend. All they kept throwing changeups. We couldn't handle it.
You're right, Arch.
Come on.
I don't know. I think I read Zach's piece at theathletic.com. Or I don't know why I was thinking about Bob Kravitz for a second. But, you know, I think that he brings up a lot of good points. If you trade him, you're punting on the season because then you can't rely on these young kids because, quite honestly, they're at innings limits and they should be.
And the message that it sends to the fans who you finally kind of gotten back. The attendance has been great.
Right.
You're waving the white flag if you trade Civale.
Yeah. I think he's been really good, really steady. And this is not the Pirates. Now, do we need a bat? Yes. I loved the Randall Grichuk pickup by the Angels. I was talking to Garrett Bush on Saturday morning on 92.3, and I thought that would be a great pickup for us. And look, they give the Angels credit. They're going for it. We got to play them later in the year. Yeah. I thought Grichuk would have been a good fit. I think Tommy Pham is a fit.
You've been talking about Tommy Pham coming to this team for 5 years. I swear.
I know, but that's all that's out there. We need a right-handed power bat.
RHP.
We have a right-handed power bat, but he didn't play the last four games.
Who's that?
David Fry. He got one at bat this weekend. One.
That
absolutely. What are we doing?
See,
the guy hits a home run on Wednesday against the Royals. Doesn't play the entire weekend, but hey, Josh Bell played every game.
It's enough. Oh God.
Oh my God. Does that guy suck?
I do want to talk about Josh Bell briefly. But you know, the other right-handed power bat that's back, and the reason why Fry didn't play this weekend is because Oscar Gonzalez has returned. The OG is back, baby.
Hey now.
But I watched him fish it pitches away. You know, and he worked one walk yesterday.
He had a good at bat yesterday.
That was like in the first or second inning.
His at bats are, you could already tell he's getting the message not to swing it. He had one, you're right, he had one bad at bat, and then he had the one yesterday where he did well and he drew a walk, he scored a run. You could tell he's more patient, but he didn't really hit the ball hard this weekend.
No, but that's why Fry didn't get the at bats because Oscar's back. The other good thing about having Oscar back is what we saw this week was Will Brennan started twice in center field and Straw was on the bench.
Thank God. Wow.
And that's a way. That. Yeah, I'm very happy about that. I mean, listen, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Straw is an ideal fourth outfielder. Bring him in the seventh inning with a lead. It's great. He can't play every day. And I think they finally started to trend in that direction, which is, it took him long enough. It's just like last week when we were like, oh, how about Tito finally replacing Ahmed for defense late in games? It only took him 4 months to figure that out, what we've known for, you know, 3 years. But, you know, baby steps, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad that Will Brennan played center field because you need Oscar to get more at bats, you need Fry to get more at bats. And we need Straw to get less at bats. That's the key. That is the key.
No, and look, Miles Straw is excellent defensively. You know, it's funny, you watch, he made some plays this weekend. Will Brennan made a couple of really nice plays yesterday in right field. Jimenez, who's just not hitting and is back in the in a slump, but Andres can really play second base, you know, and Arias at short has a hose. So that's been nice. The defense was good this weekend, but my gosh, Friday and Saturday, just you can't, you know, Tuki Toussaint in a bullpen game. Heck, Brian Shaw came in Saturday night and, you know, we immediately started getting hits. And then Andres grounds in a double play. Then in the ninth, put two men on. Josh Bell grounds in a double play. I mean, come on. This is Brian Shaw.
Here's what I
God bless him, but come on.
Josh Bell started every game this weekend, correct?
Correct. Every game.
Now, why couldn't Fry have gotten some of those at bats? Why couldn't
with you.
Oscar have DH'd? You know, like now you really don't need to use Josh Bell every day. And I am tired of waiting around for him. Like, I gave him the benefit of the doubt for a long time. Tomorrow is August 1st, and he's not turned it around. He's been terrible.
Correct.
It's not like, oh, you know, he's been unlucky. Like, early in the season, remember how Naylor was, like, ripping the ball in April, but, like, everything was at people, and we were like, man, he's not hitting, but everything looks hard. And then all of a sudden, he started, you know, he kept hitting the ball hard, but they were finding holes. Bell doesn't hit the ball hard. His right-handed swing is the ugliest thing I've ever seen, and they're stuck with him, and I get it. But if you're trying to win games and put your best nine guys out there, right now, he's not one of your best nine guys. He's just not.
No. And if you're carrying a third catcher, which they are, then you should be able to DH David Fry and let him instead of Bell. I get it. You faced a bunch of right-handed pitchers this weekend in the White Sox, and they didn't have a lefty starter, which most teams line up lefties against us. But, like, I just don't get it. David Fry homered Wednesday, had good momentum going into Chicago. I get we scored six runs without him on Thursday, but, like, doesn't play the entire weekend? Come on. I'm not saying David Fry is the next Manny Ramirez here, but can we get him in the lineup instead of Josh freaking Bell every day? It's like our Ahmed argument all over again.
Oh, thank God we don't discuss that anymore. Big game Dave, BGD, get him in there. Come on.
Please. By the way, I watched Ahmed on Friday night, Reds, Dodgers, and
how do you look?
Got a couple of hits.
He's wearing Steve Derry's number.
31.
Rafael and Steve Derry, Beachwood Bison legend, number 31. Yeah.
He lined a double into left center, and he got on second. He just started dancing. I'm like,
I did see that. I enjoyed it.
And Joe Davis was like, the Dodger announcer, who's really good, was like, welcome to L.A. I'm like, oh, my God. And then, like, a couple of seeing-eye singles made their way to his left and right. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Listen, if he's a good bench player or starting against lefties for a contending team. I'd love to have him on the bench, but just not hitting second and playing shortstop every day.
Yeah, he didn't play Saturday or Sunday. I think Saturday they brought him off the bench. He played some second base, but he didn't start. Wow. He didn't start the last 2 days.
No, but I'll say this about Ahmed. Did you see the do you get those emails like the Mandy Bell like newsletter?
Yes, emails? I do.
So Tito, they asked Tito about having to tell Ahmed that he's been traded, and I guess they found out like literally as they were walking onto the plane, and he had to like stop him on the tarmac and like literally like yell in his ear, "You've been traded," and whatever. And he's like, "I hated doing this, and you know it was terrible." And he was like on and on and on about what a great guy Ahmed is, ideal teammate,
yeah,
always smiling, and that like he's like, just because you trade a guy doesn't mean you stop caring about him. And, you know, he was such a great dude. And, you know, so we gave Ahmed a lot of shit for his horrible defense and, you know, some of the bad at bats and whatever. But he was good. You know, in his time here, he served his purpose. He was a great teammate. And the young guys all learned a lot from him. So, you know, I will, just like everything else, like I will end up looking back on Ahmed more fondly as the years pass.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they would not have made the run they made last year without him, and you got it. And he homered in what game two, which they had to win in Yankee Stadium. He had a big home run in the playoffs. I was probably the toughest on him just because, to me, we have better shortstop options, and we've had better shortstop options for the last couple of years. And it's a premium position for defense, and he just wasn't good enough there. But, yes, absolutely great teammate and everything else. I mean, now they're given – we could kind of transition over to this, but now they're sounds like, you know, everything I'm reading, and you can see it, and they're claiming that Freeman's shoulder's a little sore, but Gabe Arias is getting the first crack at this whole thing. And while he had some nice swings on Thursday, oh, look at him go the other way. He just doesn't have any power, and that's a problem. Like, you and I sat at batting practice a few weeks ago down at the stadium, and we're like, man, the ball's jumping off his bat. But, like, you just don't see it in games.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's great at short. Defensively, I'm happy about that, but you have to hit a little bit. There's just some at-bats where you go, man, he's lost.
I feel like he was sitting on four home runs for, like, a super long time. I'm going to look back on that. But the nice thing about Arias at shortstop is the difference between – I tweeted this, I think, over the weekend. The difference between Arias defensively and Ahmed defensively is, like, the difference between Peyton Manning and Charlie Fry. I mean, it is unbelievable the cannon that Arias has at short and the range that he has at short when you've been watching Ahmed for as long as we've been watching him. It's like day and night. And so I really like having a defensive shortstop like that. And now you're so strong up the middle because Andres is a Gold Glove second baseman. Arias is as good as it gets defensively at short. And then you got Straw up in center field when he's playing. So that part's good. But to your point, the hitting is just not there. It's just not. And I think now they're giving him regular at-bats. He's probably going to be playing there 5 days a week. And so let's see what he's got. The big issue still remains with him against left-handed pitching. He's 5-for-60 with a 336 OPS.
Embarrassing.
5-for-60.
I know he's 23 and this is his first chance playing his natural position. So you got to give it time, but Tyler Freeman So they played four games since Ahmed was traded and Arias started three at shortstop and Freeman started one.
Yes.
You got to figure Freeman will start Tuesday's game because it's a lefty, but it's mostly right-handed pitching all week. So
yeah,
I don't know.
What makes no sense to me, by the way? They're like, with Freeman doesn't play. And then they hit him second. If he's good enough to hit second, then he's good enough to play more than once a week. But now he will be playing. You know what I'm saying?
Do. And look, I'm excited to see these guys. But again, we're in the midst of trying to win the division. So it's just a bizarre, it's a really weird spot for this team to be in because as Tito was talking about the other day with Bo Naylor trying to, you know, we want to develop the young guy, but we want to win also. But again, that doesn't make any sense. That quote makes no sense when Cam Gallagher plays. So like
threading the needle, that's what they're doing. D's thread that needle. But you're right. Cam Gallagher should not be on this roster. I understand the early on when they needed to do it. But at this point, when you know Fry can handle the position and you know that Fry can hit, there's no need to be keeping three catchers. But with that said, you know, there's the rule that you can't carry more than 13 pitchers anymore. So, and my guess is if Tito had his druthers, they'd have another arm up here and they wouldn't have three catchers. Because who are you going to, who would you bring if right now we got rid of Cam Gallagher and DFA'd him? Who are you bringing in? If it's got to be another position player.
Whoever you know we trade for.
Like Oscar's already here.
Yeah, there's not, I mean, you're not bringing Rocchio. You're not bringing Rocchio up.
Rocchio's got to play every day in AAA.
Yeah, there's nobody else. You're not bringing Valera up.
No, and like the Noel, rest of the
you're not bringing
there.
John Kenzie Noel. He's not ready.
No. They're not bringing him up either. You're not starting that clock. And then everyone else is like, you know, these 4A types like Chris Roller and Schneeman or whatever the guy's name is. And
Daniel
Zach Collins, Micah Prius. These are all 4A guys.
Yeah, no, they're not bringing anybody else up. That's why you're stuck
Sandy
with
Sandy Leone. What about him? I'm just kidding.
I think he had a home run the other night for Columbus.
Well, good for
checking
Sandy.
Their checking their box score out. But
did he have a pass ball too?
No, catcher's interference. Get it
sorry,
right.
Yeah, that's what it was. Catcher's interference.
That guy's the dean. That guy's the dean of the CI.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we didn't even get to this yet. We're 27 minutes in, but Jose Ramirez, man, could tell yesterday he was pissed off. And like when he struck out in the first of all, that inning, the second inning against Kopech, might have been one of the single worst innings on both sides that I've ever seen played.
It was like, so bizarre that he couldn't throw a strike.
The guy couldn't even throw a strike. And then you knew the only strike he could throw was a fastball. And then we still couldn't get just a hit to just knock him out.
And it was Jose and Naylor, right?
Jose struck out to end the inning.
He struck them both out after walking the bases loaded and walking in a run.
You know, but you could tell Jose was upset with himself. I think he's been struggling a little bit. I don't know if it has anything to do with a med being traded. I'm not buying.
I don't think so. He's a pro.
But like, dude, just carrying the team yesterday and those two home runs. I mean, he's just unbelievably good.
I love that bat chuck after that home run.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell he was like, man, I needed this.
Big time. Crushed it. Yep. And, you know, with a team in need of power for a guy like that, I mean, I just hope the fans understand how good this guy is.
Well,
he might be the best. He might be the best Indian / Guardian we've ever seen.
When it's all said and done, that's possible. But the most important thing, and I think it was the executive producer and I were having this conversation, or maybe it was, yeah, I don't know. But he took less than half of market value to stay here.
Right.
And do this when he could have easily walked into free agency and got himself $300 million without even batting an eye. And, you know, so even if he tanked it the rest of the time, you know, for the rest of his career, which he wouldn't because he's such a competitor, the guy basically gave away $120 million to stay here. So his jersey or his number will be retired. And hopefully one day he's a Hall of Fame player, but God bless that man. Like you said,
you and the EP talking about Jose Ramirez or Sergio Perez. I heard he made a run yesterday.
Checo finished second, baby. You know, it was a Red Bull 1-2. Verstappen won yet again. It's a snoozer.
You love that. You love that F1.
I do. It was a tough weekend for Oscar Piastri though, because Oscar did great in the sprint race and then he was out in lap one because Carlos Sainz cut him off.
Did that guy get down there near the pit and start interviewing people again? The old guy you love?
Oh, no, it was, you talking Martin Brundle's grid walk? Is that what we're talking here?
Yeah.
He did
a
fan walk yesterday. It was not exciting.
Not as good.
I'm sure there weren't a lot of celebrities in the grid yesterday in Belgium.
Was that better than Andre not telling us about his favorite Christmas present that he got? That was yesterday's eighth inning discussion.
God.
All right.
Do some pitching matchups because your boy's got a tight schedule today.
Yeah. So we go to Houston. I'm actually intrigued by tonight. Is this like
me too? Just I'm psyched. I can't wait to watch.
Does Noah Syndergaard just get blown up and you could just say, oh my God, this guy's done? Or is like he throw five scoreless innings and we go, Carl's done it again.
I got a feeling he's gonna be great. I don't know why. I just got a feeling he's gonna be great.
Really?
I mean, tonight.
It'll be interesting. By the way, real fast, a Rise and Grind Fitness, corner of Chagrin and Brainerd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, tomorrow, August 1st, go to Rise, R-Y-Z-E, and Grind, GRIND.com. And the launch of the website will be up. Everything is transitioning over tomorrow, which is going to be great. So August 1st, we're doing that first month soft launch. And then September, we're going to have a big blowout. Things we're moving on the fly. It's very exciting. But if you're looking for the best group fitness studio in the CLE, the 216, the land, which I can't stand saying, come check us out on Instagram at Rise and Grind Fitness. R-Y-Z-E is Rise. Or as of August 1st, check out the website, riseandgrind.com, for all of your group fitness needs on the east side of Cleveland, baby.
There you go. East Side Till I Die. What about Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein, Dr. Sean, CFAD.net, and also Breaking Tea t-shirts. If you don't have the Jose Ramirez slide t-shirt, the blue one,
love it.
Get it for the weekend when the Guardians come back home to take on the White Sox, the tanking White Sox.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez slide shirt available right now. Go to Breaking Tea, the letter T.com/dairy takes you right to the Cleveland collection. Hey, the Browns, they're a Greenbrier. Let's break that down. You want your perfect Browns for, gear as well.
Perfect for Jimmy at the Greenbrier. Eyebrow and white. Jailbird Jimmy. Just how he looks.
Man. I heard Deshaun looks good in 7-on-7s.
Let's talk about the pitching matchups.
All right. Sorry. Tonight.
Don't get me going on Jailbird Jimmy.
Tonight. Noah Syndergaard makes his Guardians debut wearing number 43.
No, 34.
I thought he was wearing 43 yesterday.
I thought I saw him wearing 34.
Dave Berba's old number?
Josh Tomlin was 43.
The ice
Aaron
cream
Savali
man?
Wears 43.
What's that?
Didn't Savali wear 43 at one point?
Oh, yeah. I guess he can't wear 34. I thought he was wearing 43 yesterday. Maybe not.
Aaron Savali's 43. Syndergaard's 34.
Syndergaard, that's my fault. Syndergaard against
Syndergaard. Syndergaard. I'm going to be doing that all
Syndergaard time. Against JP France tonight. Right-handers pitch well for them. Gavin Williams on Tuesday night against lefty Framber Valdez. Never easy against him. And then Wednesday afternoon, Tanner Bibee and Christian Javier. Not having the great year that he usually has. But the Astros are looking for another starting pitcher. Maybe they'll get Verlander back. And then day off on Thursday, and then this weekend, the White Sox come in again. Same matchups we saw Logan Allen, Mike Clevinger on Friday, unless Clevinger gets traded or goes on his Twitter. Aaron Savali on Saturday against Michael Kopech. So, again, just wait it out. He'll walk you, please. And then Sunday afternoon, a Peacock start, 12:05. Yeah. You going to that?
I will be there, 12:05.
Syndergaard against to be announced because the White Sox are out of pitchers after trading Giolito and Lance Lynn and pretty much running out of guys. So got to take advantage. Astros are really good. They're right on the tail of the Rangers. It's not going to be easy this week, but then you got to take advantage of the White Sox. And then Todd, as you said in the show sheet here, then the murder schedule starts after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like can't
Blue
can't
Jays, Reds, Twins,
Rays
a bunch.
It's Blue Jays, Rays, Reds, unnamed. Then the
Angels,
the Dodgers come to town.
Yeah, not gonna be an easy stretch. Man, the Reds can really hit. Took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. All right, that'll do it for us, Todd. When are you going this weekend? Just Sunday?
Just Sunday.
All right, the Syndergaard show, the Thor show tonight. We are. It'll do it for us. Dairy Brothers Guardians cast. WaitingForNextYear.com is where you can find us. At Dairy Bros Pod on Twitter and also the Evergreen Podcast Network. But thanks to our great subscribers, we are out of room and out of here.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.